good enough members. It's Storm here. I am doing a solo episode without my beloved Irish babe of a co-host, Alex Owens. He has gone and had a cheeky visit back home for a week, so that's why I'm doing it alone. So Alex, I really missed you. Please come back. Thank you. So this week, in the theme of the upcoming Sex Week at Good Enough, which is this week, 11th of February to the 17th of Feb, our episode is all about sex. So what is there not to love about that topic, honestly? Our very special guest today is the stunning Tamar Geist. She is, along with the amazing Dean Thompson. Dean and her run Queer Enough at Good Enough, which is the LGBT community, group at Good Enough. And her and I just spoke all about sex, and it was so fun. If you haven't met Tamar, she's a babe. And it was so awesome. So we hope you guys enjoy. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the things.
You're a Storm.
Hello, Good Enough members. I am here with the beautiful Tamar Geist, and we are talking about sex.
Sex.
Beautiful.
Yes.
As you can hear, Tamar's got an angelic voice.
Angelic.
So yeah. Angelic.
Now I'm going to switch to my deep voice, my radiophonic voice, because of the topic.
You know? So sexy. Okay, perfect. Yeah. We can do that. What's it called? Is it called S? Where people go on YouTube and listen to like...
Oh, I don't know.
They go on YouTube and they listen to people eating. Oh. I think it's called like SMR or something. I'll go.
Like so you'll be like, I'm eating.
Etc.
Yes, okay. That's us.
So Tamar, tell Good Enough members who you are, what okay. you're studying.
Yeah, so this is my third year in the college. I'm a musician. I've been doing two masters here while in Good Enough, and currently just started the first year of my PhD in music, and I'm investigating gender and the female voice with relation to music and singing.
Amazing. So this is just the perfect thing for you then, actually.
Yeah, sex week.
I was going to say, absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also you are co-head of the Queer Enough group at Good Enough with Dean Thompson.
Yes. We both run since September the Queer Enough. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic opportunity to really let people opportunity to express themselves and feel a part of a community within the community of mm-hmm. Good Enough, safe space to just be who they are, create awareness, especially. Even I think the majority in our first meeting this year, 20 people came. It was the pillow talk, and more than half of them were just allies, not even defining themselves as gay, bi. Mm-hmm. But they were there to support and listen and I don't know, just know more about this topic because they were fascinated by it. And I wish we had more like this because it is fascinating.
Absolutely. And just, you're right, educating themselves.
Yes, yes.
Just so you're not ignorant.
Exactly. Yeah. The lack of ignorance is so crucial, especially within an accommodation of 84 different countries. Mm-hmm. So we had two people from Pakistan, and we were so surprised and happy that they came. Or other countries that it is literally a crime to be gay there. Mm. So creating awareness and talking about their experiences there, even as straight people who are worried for other gay people, it's educating and it's important that we will be their support, their...
A safe space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And earlier, before we started this episode, you and I were talking about what are your goals, you and Dean, your goals for Queer Enough. And you were saying that you just want to create this feeling of openness. And let's not make talking about sex a taboo. Let's just make it the norm.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a very progressive and super liberal thought, maybe because I'm coming from an artist background, and not everyone can identify with it. But the taboo initially create such an restraining environment where harassments and assaults happen more frequently because mm-hmm. of the taboo.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in extreme conservative environments, even for giving example of my own people in Israel. So Orthodox Jews, the more ultra-Orthodox or the more extreme Jews, they, because it's so forbidden even to listen to a female voice, to listen to a woman singing, it's considered to be erotic. This is what I'm writing my PhD about.
Wow.
Yeah, erotic action, and the men can be aroused by it. And you know, as a man growing up, not allowed to touch women, look at a woman, listen to her voice, even talking or giving a lecture, it's like that much. So growing in that kind of environment, you think that whatever you do is a sin, and then it creates some frustration, of course, and it comes out in weird, bizarre way in what's called perversions or illegal stuff, like rabbis that assault
kids.
Young kids, exactly, like in Christianity as well. So, for example, saying that masturbation is a sin, that's horrible. So people keep beating themselves up for, oh my God, I'm doing something so wrong.
So wrong,
and,
yeah.
And no, let's talk about it. I mean, I'm not inventing the wheel. It's been for I think 2 centuries. It's quite common to talk about it, and the female masturbation has become more and more something that, like, it's okay.
Yeah,
you're allowed to do it. It's not only men. They're not the only horny person. Yeah, exactly.
We also have needs.
And yeah, so talk all the time, even if you need a glass of wine in order to talk and listen up.
You and I were just saying that, weren't we? And you're so right. It's that those men are just bottling it up, and then it's coming out in really unhealthy ways, whether it's sexual assault on children or women.
Exactly.
And who's to say? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Who's to say that you can't do what you want with your body?
Yes.
And you can't listen to a beautiful woman's voice.
Yes.
So I'm going to be very interested to hear once your PhD is done, to hear what you found out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
As well. Yeah.
And have you found back home in Israel, did you personally ever, meet one of these men, or were you ever able to sort of...
Yeah, when I was working in the National Library and was approaching, I was at the desk table, welcoming the people, and he was not allowed to look at me while saying, I need a key for this and this book or whatever. It's crazy. And then I developed a conversation with somebody less radical, and he explained to me even that he loves opera. He just loves all the big opera singers, Callas and Sutherland. And he said, but my rabbi said that I shouldn't listen to them, even though they're dead. So even to a recording of a female voice, he's not allowed to listen to it, because he knows how she looks, and he can imagine it might create some desire within him. And I'm saying, instead of depriving, instead of blocking the female from, how do you say it, express their voices and let their voices out, instead of that, why not just... Men, control yourself.
I was just going to say that.
Control your desires, control your impulses, or whatever it raises in you.
Because it's just portraying men, and I'm sure men listening to this would get so furious. It's portraying them in a way like there are these animals that are impulsive and can't control anything.
Yes.
And that's just so disrespectful to them too.
Exactly. But put all the guilt on the female. Again, like Adam and Eve's story, the snake tempted the wife and she just...
The
forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
And why all the guilt is on the woman?
Yeah.
So much responsibility on her
to
remain modest and not to cover herself up in many religions. Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently this is why we, give birth in pain and have periods because of this. So
we were punished for it.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about before this, that whoever created us is definitely not a woman, because no fellow woman would give us periods and childbirth and fluctuating hormones, all of that jazz. So you and I were also chatting about our mutual love of the new Netflix series, Sex Education.
Oh my god, so good.
So good. If you guys haven't watched it, it's a British teenage coming of age series, basically all about sex education in the title. The main character called Otis basically becomes a sex therapist at his local high school. And he's very good, even though he himself's a virgin.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's phenomenal. Because his mother, it's important to say his mother is a sex therapist.
Yeah.
Super sexy, super hot. Watch it.
And a friend was suggesting to you that maybe you could take up this very role.
Yes, good enough. I said it, I admire her. I want to be like her when I grow up. So he said, why don't you be our good enough sex therapist? Maybe next year I'll ask for funding and do sessions in the toilets.
Or the chaplain.
Oh, the chaplain. Yeah. Confession.
Confession booth.
Sex confession.
I think good enough would be very much on board with this.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be, it's brilliant. It's healthy. You wouldn't charge, or would you?
No,
you wouldn't
charge.
No.
It's a service for the community.
Absolutely. Service for the community.
Yeah. I just need to make sure that I do it for them and not for my own amusement.
This is true. But we were saying how I was telling you that the other night I watched a Scottish comedian called Daniel Sloss. If you guys haven't heard of Daniel Sloss, he's so funny. He released a show called Jigsaw on Netflix. And basically in the show, he just talks about the importance of being single and embracing your singleness and not letting social norms put pressure on you to be in a relationship.
So true.
And he was so inspiring that after his Netflix series sort of went, you know, viral and got really popular, he ended up inspiring 20,000 people to break up.
Really?
In total, yeah. He's still counting. Because in the series, or in the comedy special, he says, you know, if you do break up with your human being, please tweet me because I'm keeping tally. And yeah, it's over 20,000.
Wow. So I'm going to listen to this.
You have to. And from like being a single person listening to it, it's just so nice because you're like, yes.
Reassuring.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So yeah. So anyway, got off topic there. So Daniel Sloss, I watched him the other night in Kentish Town, and he was talking about how, because he's Scottish, and he was saying the British approach to sex education, it might have changed now because he's now in his mid-20s, but he said the way they were taught as kids about sex was purely for reproduction purposes. It wasn't like, it was like the woman was this vessel that this man just implanted in. And he said it was really weird as a kid because he never saw a woman as like being a participant in it. And he said, it's ridiculous. You know, only 0.2% of the time are people having sex to actually reproduce. It's usually just for pleasure or for fun. And I thought, he's so spot on. Why isn't sex education more about, okay, this is a woman's body, here are her pleasure spots, here's a man's body, here's his one pleasure spot. that one too. So I just thought that was such a good way to approach it. And was Israel's sex education, was it similar to that?
That's a very good question, because we're living in such a... Well, our generation, I'm calling out, I was born in 85, so I'm still a white
generation.
Still
millennial.
So millennial, yeah, but millennials that weren't born with iPads in their hands. So the way I consumed my initial sex education was seeing a book, like a book, a real book, in my sister's library. Just took it. It was third grade. And I did a little, I was a sex therapist in third grade. Now when I come to think of it, actually, the roots were already there.
Early
it was
starter.
Very groundbreaking. I love this stuff.
I love it.
Yeah. So we would just gather all the girls on the carpet in the classroom at break. And I just read parts from that book to them and educated them what an orgasm is, what oral sex is. And it's like they were all fascinated.
So you were leading this whole group.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now it brings to mind, we had regular sex education classes, you know, and they put the banana and show you how to put condom, but I don't think it's enough.
No,
it's not enough.
It's definitely not. Also, just like practical things, you know, that, I mean, just practical things like, you know, it might be sore initially.
Yes.
And I read an article the other day was saying that, you know, if women do feel pain after sex or feeling nauseous, you must go to the doctor because it could be indication of what did they say? Is it vaginism that they spoke about?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
And these are things that if you don't know, you would think, that's it. I'm never meant to have sex. Something's wrong with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that the blood is not only the first time, it can happen the second.
Of course.
Yes. So many small details.
That's it, yeah.
Totally. And also, I think also not to create this pressure of, the age is going down and people having sex earlier, but the pressure, it's like, oh, you're still a virgin, you're still a virgin.
Yeah.
And it's also, let's educate that it's not, what's the rush? And at the same time, why a girl who slept with somebody early, she's whore, but a man is like, he's a man, manly man, because he did it early. It's still like this, and so old-fashioned outlook.
So old-fashioned and really irritating.
Yes.
I watched a TED talk about, it was so interesting, it was talking about, and I think I might have spoken to you about it, but it was talking about how your physical reaction to sexual pleasure and your obviously your mind and how you're emotionally reacting to it are different. So this lady who was speaking, she was a sexual psychologist, and she was saying that she's had rape victims that have had orgasms while being raped. And she was saying they are so tortured and confused because why did they enjoy it? Why did their body react that way?
Yeah.
So this psychologist was just saying that as women, we need to be very careful that when you are, you know, being intimate with someone, make sure that your mind wants it too. Your body is going to react the way, annoyingly so, evolution wants you to procreate and wants you to have sex and create offspring, even though we don't need any more children in this world. And if your mind, and often, I definitely like have heard of stories where, you know, the man's like, oh, but you're obviously ready, you know, you're moist.
Yeah.
And the woman thinks, oh, okay, well, clearly I am. But no, you're not. It's just your body's response.
So true.
So true. And this woman, honestly, she was amazing. During this TED talk, she said to you, she said to the crowd, what if I told you that, someone had multiple orgasms while being raped, and then you could see the crowd being like, skeptical. And then she said, what if I also told you it was a 15-year-old girl being raped by her uncle?
Wow.
Yes. So people were just so confused.
Yeah.
And talking about things like this too, I mean,
yes, definitely.
Otherwise you won't know. As a youngster starting off and sort of getting into being more sexually acquainted with the opposite sex or the same sex or different individuals, you would need to know this.
Totally.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
And before, you and I were chatting about porn and how we hate the way porn depicts the woman as just pleasing this man and loving certain things being sprayed into her face, apparently. Or her boobs.
Yeah. The conventions that is like, again, we talked in the relation to sex education, the one episode that the girl is like, do you want to come on my face? Yeah, how do you like it? Or on my boobs? And it's like, and then the man is like, no, I want you to come. And this is such a refreshing thing because in teenagers or even older, it's so rare. It's like we are there to please them, and we do as we were taught and as we saw in porn. And it's like it's become this convention that nobody can really bend, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're definitely, I've heard of podcasts about people trying to introduce like romantic porn that's more aimed at women, because statistically women are more likely to watch gay porn, which is quite interesting.
And let's not open that.
Apparently it's because women don't want, psychologically, they like seeing the two men because they think that they're both the same level. They're not, one's not dominating the other.
That explains so much.
Yeah, one's not being taken advantage of the other. So it's like, oh, they're both equal. Exactly.
Yeah.
And isn't that interesting? It shows you so much about women, how we stress about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a whole different perspective now you gave me.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mind-blowing.
So that's what they were saying, and
Equal sex. Yeah, because I saw some porn that's supposed to be a feministic porn done by that. Yeah, but it wasn't really. It was still with the old-fashioned
noise.
It's like, yeah, so you show more positions that are allegedly pleasing the female, but still, when the man comes, it finishes. So it's like...
It's not great.
Yeah.
And also, they were saying that there's another company, obviously you have to, they create, what they do is the people aren't actors, they're people that actually love each other, and then they just... They don't mind being recorded having sex, and then
that's an amateur sex. No, wait, it's like the category.
It must be, but then they must be paid. Then they're paid by this porn company.
Oh, so it's not just amateurs. Sorry, sends their,
and I can't remember what it's called. But I watched listened to a podcast about it, and they were targeting women who wanted to see beautiful, romantic lovemaking.
Mm.
And I know I have a friend who hates the term lovemaking, because apparently it's very cringe. But,
yeah, I understand the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes, even after a one-night stand, it's... I know cases when it's weird to hug after it, because in porn, they never finish it in a hug, in a cuddle.
Mm.
It's always, yeah, the man comes and... That's it.
Yeah.
It's like a hug. It's such a weird... It doesn't exist in the lexicon of porn.
So strange.
Yeah. So.
And you and I were also chatting about how statistically they were saying that the most Googled term on Pornhub is teenagers, which is really creepy. And there's actually a really good podcast at the moment called Butterfly Effect. If you haven't listened to it, it's great. It's basically about the sequential events of porn and how it can affect people's lives. And... they interviewed porn producers, and they were saying that the dead age, or the age where you're seen as a granny, is like 25, 26, because you're not young enough to be portrayed as a teenager, and you're not old enough to be portrayed as a MILF.
Yeah, I mean, it's
insane.
Ridiculous. But you know, it penetrates the entire... our field, in every field of our lives. It's not just in porn industry. It's like in Hollywood, when 50-year-old actors, beautiful actresses, are not hired because they are considered to be grandmas. So that we have this idealization of youth. It has been in the past, I don't know, a few hundred years. In this case, it's. I don't even know what to say. It's so creepy.
It's highly creepy. Yeah. And I'm just hoping it's something that changes over time.
And even, you know, in Tinder, when you see an... well, not you. But
yeah.
when you see a younger looking, you say, oh, he looks so much younger than his age. Or she looks so much younger than her age. It's like, yeah, it's an attraction. It's a positive aspect of this person.
Mm.
They look 16, even though they are 26. It's so wrong.
It's so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, so many levels. Exactly.
And even the apps, like nowadays, the Instagram apps or the apps that you can buy then to add on Instagram, all those features make you look younger.
Oh, yes, yes.
Make your eyes look huge like a baby.
Yes, with the lashes, a doll.
Yeah,
like
your skin
doll.
Is like porcelain like a baby.
Yeah, everything
and
is retouched.
Like, guys, this is strange.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
No, it's sad.
So, Sai, let's go back on to, I wanted to ask you, as someone who's now to your third year here at Good Enough, what is something that you think really, what does Sex Week do for Good Enough? What is something that you think it really brings to the community?
So 2 years ago, there was a very, very, contributing, amazing, liberal member called George, who was in charge with the Sex Week and the Queer Enough. And he did this amazing show. I don't remember how he called it. He really brought drag queens and drag kings, which was the first time I saw one.
Wow.
Professionals. He brought them, and I think Jenny helped because she has this relation through
Amy.
And it was it was really I moved uncomfortably in my chair, but in a good way, like, Whoa. I've never seen something so explicit in front of my face. Like, only in London it's possible.
That's amazing.
And I think it really shook a few people. Not many came, unfortunately. But I think that the cabaret is more a bit more communicative, the jazz cabaret. 17th of February. Yeah.
Just to let you know, Tamar is
Anjali,
and Anjali will be doing the Sexy Jazz Cabaret Sunday the 17th of February in Willie G.
Small, large common room.
At 7:30, right?
Eight.
Eight, sorry.
Yeah, so it's becoming a tradition that both of us, Anjali and me, from our first year here, it's just, I think, some parts of it are already cult, like the sexy vegetables competition that Anjali created, and now we can't do without it. It's hilarious.
So it makes
people
die
and create.
I love
it. Creating.
And we can never look at vegetables the same way.
Yeah, no. And it's important to say that none of the vegetables are thrown away. We're going to do a sexy soup the day after. Anjali, with her phenomenal cooking skill.
Good. And all the vegetables signed a consent form.
Yeah. Not molested. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, indeed. And this is done at the same time while we perform all sorts of acts from the improv group that Anjali runs, and they do improv comic situations, and from burlesque dancer and a clown, professional clown, and
professional clown.
Yeah, there's such thing, like not the weird
for adults
kind. Yeah. It's phenomenal. Yeah, he did a workshop in Good Enough.
Wow.
It's great. And drag, I'm not sure if we'll have drag, but we'll have a cross-dressing done by me.
Exciting.
Yes. And what else? Spoken word that I think Anjali is doing. Like, really, really groundbreaking, taboo, breaking. Naughty things. Very sexy. Very dark, lots of music,
brilliant.
Of course, because the jazz band are going to play a lot in between the parts. What else? Oh, and important to say that contribution of £1 at door is going to an LGBT mental health charity.
Amazing.
So it's also for a good cause. Come over, don't be shy. I mean, I know some people might be intimidated, like not knowing what to expect, but it's all with, I think it's within good taste, because you are still able to sit comfortably in your chair, and you don't have to touch the vegetables, you don't have to look at the nudity if you don't want to. So really, I think it can accommodate many, many
absolutely
flavors.
And we're so lucky here at Good Enough, because we're in a bubble.
Yes,
so we can
indeed
really actually push social norms and break the taboo.
Yeah.
I just wish that it could be expanded and generalized to the
bigger
world.
It's an ideal bubble, you're right.
Mm.
But yeah, starting from how many are we? 700 and something.
It's still
quite
pretty. It's substantial. You're right.
Somebody said in his country, look, I watched this performer. We were having this sport talk about this and that in relation to sex pleasure, and like it can open in horizons and
absolutely
in different ways. And
yeah, I know, and you're right. We do at Good Enough have a lot of people who are coming from countries where homosexuality is literally illegal.
Yeah.
And I think it must be so interesting for them. And I would love to speak to one of them, but I just don't think. I think
some of them talk about it very openly.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Israel, so it's not illegal, it's not a crime, but we still have issues with, because we have a very religious government, and religion is penetrating so many fields in Israel. So gay marriage is still not established. So we can get married outside of Israel and then be recognized as partners, but not in an official way. We don't have the same rights in sense of, for example, adoption. We can't adopt, and not both parents are considered legal parent of the child if we adopt.
What?
Yeah. So like we do a lot of rallies, demonstrations about it, all the gay community, because there is a very, very substantial, strong gay community in Israel. The pride parades are phenomenal.
Good.
People from all over the world come to
Amazing.
Tel Aviv. It's the best.
That's
this year is
awesome.
Going to be phenomenal because of the Eurovision. So all the LGBT community is like
Eurovision
going to
in Tel Aviv.
Israel. Yeah, because we won last year.
Oh my god!
It's epic.
Are you going back home for it?
No, unfortunately not. It's going to be so expensive, the flights then. But yeah, it's a once in a lifetime thing. But also there's this contradiction because the government is a bit hypocrite. Mm-hmm. They ban gay rights, full gay rights, but they encourage this parade because it brings tourists and give good name to Israel. So yeah, it's a bit of a double standard.
That's it completely, and because it's helping them financially, then like not a problem.
Yeah. It's a bit sad.
But that makes me angry.
I know, but it starts from these liberal cities with all the artists, and I'm sure it will get to the other cities and the rest of the country eventually.
Absolutely.
It's stronger. Liberal forces are stronger than the conservative, I want to believe. So
definitely. And I think the millennial generation are changing things.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And that's why I know like a lot of people get so upset with Brexit, is because it's the older generation making decisions that are going to impact the younger generation that don't want this.
Yes, yes.
And so I think it's a bit similar to that too, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and as a...
finishing with Brexit.
I love this. I'm sorry.
No, I need to finish it with something sexier.
I was going to say.
Than Brexit.
As a concluding thought, what is something that you would want everyone to sort of adopt, or a mindset for people to take home after this podcast about sex?
Not being afraid to talk, to try, to explore. But mainly talk. It starts with talking to a good friend, to somebody you trust, and just about concerns or not being afraid of intimidated by those topics. And yeah.
I love
that. We're here for that, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? We're all here together. There's only one life that we know of. No one's going to make it in the end anyway.
Yes.
You know, so what's the point of holding all these things in? I love that, Tamar.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Good talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to that. I hope you enjoyed. Tamar, you are magical. Thank you for being the Goodcast guest this week. Honestly, brilliant. Before I let you go, I just wanted to give you a quick run through about all of the amazing, awesome events happening this week during Sex Week at Good Enough. So if you haven't heard of the upcoming Sex Week at Good Enough, basically it's organized by our amazing Good Enough members, Liat and Adam, and it's all about basically promoting diversity of, you know, sexual choices, sexuality and gender, and just creating an environment to talk about these things openly and just shatter any taboos that surround them. So I just want to hit you up with a few of the very exciting events that are coming up. So basically the whole week is jam-packed. So Monday, in order to fight off those, you know, Monday blues, you're going to have, we're having a really cool talk in the Churchill Room, 8 p.m. to 9:30, talking all about taking pleasure seriously. So it's going to be a panel discussion. I just think that's one not to miss. Then Tuesday, oh my word, of course, Bloomsbury Opera, how casual. Kosi Fantute is going to be in the Great Hall from 7 to 10. Alex and I have spoken about this and helped promote it. It's going to be amazing. These are one of the best opera singers you will see. It's £8 ticket for members, £15 for guests. Have to do it. Then Wednesday, it's going to be a film screening and pajama party in the Churchill Room from 9:30 to 11:30. And they're showing the movie called Kinsey, which is the 2004 American drama, which describes the life of Alfred Charles Kinsey, who's played by Liam Neeson, super hot. And he was the pioneer of the area of sexology, so that's very appropriate. Then Thursday, the 14th of Feb, which is Valentine's Day, we've got the second night of Bloomsbury Opera, Kosi Fantute. It's going to be lit. It's going to be romantic. Bring your bae. Bring your besties. Bring yourself. Often the best person to date is oneself. So that's going to be really cool. Alex and I are going there. He's going to be my date for the night. It's going to be so magical. Then Friday the 15th of Feb, Great Gatsby Party in the G Bar in Woolly G at 8 p.m. It's going to be obviously Roaring Twenties themed. The coolest thing is they're turning the bar into a speakeasy bar. And the nice thing about it is that entry is completely free to all. So that's just a no-brainer. And then Saturday in the Churchill Room from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, there's going to be a talk on sexuality and scholarship. And that is going to be done by one of our very own PhD students, who is going to be talking about the scholarly works behind sexuality. And then, then at nighttime, yes, from 9 p.m. to 2 in the morning, we're not playing games here, everyone, there's a trip to Ducky. If you haven't heard of Ducky, it's a very cool bar / nightclub. And it's in Vauxhall, and our amazing chaplain, Jenny Hogan, will be leading the trip to Ducky. And it's basically just a hotbed of queer culture, and it's so, so fun. So if you're keen to go, they're going to meet at London House reception at 9 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday, 17th Feb, we've got Sexy Jazz Cabaret hosted by Anjali, and our amazing Tamar Geist. And that's from 7:30 to 11. And that's the large common room in Willy G. That's going to be brilliant. So you basically have your whole week planned and sorted. Anyway, guys, have a stunning week. And we'll hopefully see you at all of the sex-related events. Bye for now.